Hey folks, we're here with Rob Relyeev from the Connect for Windows SDK team. Rob, why don't you quickly introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm a program manager on the Connect for Windows team, working on developer APIs and trying to make sure that it's great for you developers.
And the exciting thing is we got a new release, Beta 2.
Yes, Beta 2 is here just in time for Connect's birthday.
Oh, that's right. So it is Connect's one-year anniversary, right?
Right, November 4th, launched in the U.S.
Awesome, awesome. And we are talking about some of the new things, you know, for developers. We wanted to give a recap on some of the things. If they've never used Connect for Windows SDK, great time to download Beta 2 and start playing. So we invited Rob. And Rob, you know, I kind of asked you to give the high-level overview for people that aren't familiar with what actually goes on for programming Connect SDK.
Sure. I've got a couple slides that'll just talk about what's in the SDK when you install it. Today, you install one thing, the SDK, and it installs the driver that knows how to connect, talk to the Connect,
right?
The runtime, and an SDK with tools and things like that. So there's a driver, there's a native Connect runtime, so C++ apps can talk to the native Connect runtime.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a managed Connect runtime.
Right.
And C# and VB developers or other managed languages can go ahead and use those. And then there's also samples and docs and tools in the SDK as well.
Sure.
Now, if you think about what does it provide in Beta 2 and even earlier, we get color photos, we get color images from the Connect, 30 frames
this
a second.
This is just a regular camera. It's getting, you get a still image on an event on 30 frames per second.
Sure, and you've got different, you've got RGB format or YUV format, and depending mm-hmm. on how much bandwidth it takes, it'll do 30 frames a second, 15 frames a second.
Okay.
We also have a depth camera, and the depth camera is interesting. That's the new thing that enables some other greatness. The depth camera, instead of giving you colors in each pixel, gives you millimeters in each pixel.
So you need the distance of each pixel from that Connect camera.
Exactly.
Cool.
We also have audio feeds. We have a microphone array, of course, with four microphones, and we're able to go ahead and zero in on where is the sound coming from and separate some sounds from other sounds so we can get a clear signal.
Yeah, I think one of the best things about the Connect SDK, even if you just, you know, you already have a Connect, it's an amazing microphone. So you can just plug it in and just use Sound Recorder. Never actually use the SDK, and it's a great microphone.
Exactly. On top of the depth image, we do skeletal tracking. And so we're able to, 30 frames a second, understand where all 20 of your joints are. We can track two people, we'll track six people, and we can drill into their bones for only two people.
Right, and those are the specific joints, so you'll know where like a hand is, a head is, and all the details within.
Exactly, all 20 joints. And then, of course, using speech technologies, using speech APIs, Microsoft.speech, you're able to go ahead and take the audio feed and do speech recognition.
Right.
Like Xbox Play.
Right, right.
And we also have, you know, just some basics as well.
Okay, so that's kind of like the high level, everything that's possible, and maybe this is all new for people that have been using Connect, but what's new for Beta 2?
Sure.
What's the exciting stuff?
Well, so we'll start off with some of the basics and work our way up to some other nice things as well. When you saw us in Beta 1 and Beta 1 Refresh, you were only able to use this on Windows 7 32-bit applications.
Right.
You weren't able to use 64-bit applications. We had a 64-bit install, but that 64-bit install was just the drivers were 64-bit.
Right.
So the first thing we've done is we've added support for 64-bit applications.
Great.
So on Windows 7, you can use 32-bit or 64-bit applications. And then we've also, you know, there was this big event down in California in September.
Build conference, baby.
That's the one. So they released a Windows 8 developer preview. I'm running it here. And a lot of people are trying to do development there, and so we wanted to go ahead and make Connect available there. So for desktop applications running on Windows 8, our platform works for you as well. So
yeah, and it's important to say that's for desktop applications.
Right, nothing to announce
set
in the
expectations.
Metro space yet. Right,
yes.
Exactly. And one of the other things we've done is we've fixed it so that you can actually run demos at your desktop, unplug your laptop, walk over to a conference center or a studio like this one, and plug Connects in while the app is still running and have it adapt to it.
Sure.
So you can plug and unplug things now and deal with that. And there's a couple other problems that people have that our Connect status work is going to help you with. Sometimes people forget to plug in the other power cord. Sometimes they plug two Connects into, plug a Connect into a USB controller that has other commitments. Clint had a problem like that where he had a USB bandwidth issue.
Yeah, and just a real quick, what's the guidance for people that are using it on a USB hub? Was it about just basically do one connect per USB hub? Is that
sure? Yeah, one connect per USB hub. I think we use, I forget if we need 45% or 55% of the bandwidth, but the OS reserves another 20%. So basically, only one connect will fit per.
Right.
And if you have a camera also, you might have conflicts if you try to put those guys on the same thing as well.
Right, right. And, you know, one of the challenges is people would try and run applications, even just the built-in skeletal viewer, and they couldn't get it to work. They wouldn't know what was happening. So to be able to actually know that, hey, there's an issue with the power, for example.
Right. Well, let's flip over right now and edit my slides, huh?
Yes, demos.
Yeah, let's go open up. First of all, you'll notice that we're stored in a new location as well. We're in the Microsoft SDKs directory.
Right.
If I go down to samples bin, there's an updated skeletal viewer WPF, and the skeletal viewer WPF can tell I don't have a connect plugged in. Right now I've got two connects here, but neither
sure.
of them are plugged in. I'll go ahead and plug one in. So it's able to go ahead and, at startup, iterate through the connects and say, oh, I've got zero.
Now, typically what happens when you plug a USB thing is it's searching and finding
yeah.
the sensor. And
so I'll plug it in.
Any luck? Yeah. There.
So I plug it in.
We hear the familiar sound.
we hear the beep, and then we're able to go ahead. And what just happened there is the application listened for a status changed event
right.
and can say, oh, whoa, hey, a new device just came in and became connected.
And we see it's actually doing some skeletal tracking in the bottom corner.
Is that over here? Yeah.
Is that? Yeah, I can't tell. That's one,
one of these two. I think it's that one.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. All right,
yeah.
So anyway, so that's a quick look at one plugged in, and here we've got, we show you the connect index, the connect name, et cetera, that is USB path-ish. I can go ahead and plug in another guy now.
And the connect index is when you have multiple connects, you can actually, it's how you reference them, right? So you could have two connects.
Right.
And then you can use the number to actually reference which one is which.
So if you scroll down here, we've got both connects working at one time, and you've got the depth feed working there. You'll notice a couple things here, though. Your connect can't do skeletal tracking.
Yes, only one at a time, right?
Only one at a time. And actually, it was only one at a time in beta 1 also, and we gave you one choice. We said you could either choose the zeroth, you know, the first connect in the
yeah.
list, or the first connect in the list. You got no choice.
Yes, yes.
Right? You always got the zero one.
You're defining which one it is, and that's it for forever.
Well, no, you couldn't even choose. You just had to choose if there were two connects.
Oh,
you had
to
choose the zeroth.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So now this sample shows you if you click on the depth image, it will go ahead and say, oh, hey, let's turn off skeletal on that guy. Let's turn on skeletal on this other guy.
So
we were able to swap, and yeah, you're looking
at
the right one.
Slowly.
There we go.
Yeah, there we go. All
okay.
Right. So yeah, there.
So very nice. So you're able to go ahead and still we're limited to two connects right now for this beta. We'll be digging into more per app, but you have the flexibility of changing things. So this would make it possible to have a kiosk with two screens and two connects, and both of them that could do skeletal tracking, because one app would use number one app would use number zero. And
sure.
That wasn't possible before.
But not skeletal tracking, though, right? Because
they both would be able to because they're separate apps.
Oh, as long as they're separate apps,
right.
Then you can do it. Okay, that's
but
great.
You wouldn't have been able to do that before because one of them would have one that couldn't do it because it was the number one,
so,
and one was zero.
Yeah, so just in terms of having multiple Connect apps running on the same machine, it's definitely possible so long as you have Connect per app right now. Is that, is that correct?
You are. I actually haven't tested. You definitely are able to have two apps using different connects.
Okay.
Don't just instantiate one and then instantiate the other with the other app.
Okay.
So you're definitely able to do that. Now,
okay.
If I pull the plug.
This is where we see the status change.
I flip the plug, and actually you see the feed stops going through. I flip the plug on both of these guys. If all works well, we wouldn't crash. What's supposed to happen is this is supposed to say not connected, but hey, it is beta. it does work a little bit better on Windows 7 right now. We've done a little more testing in Windows 7 for the not powered and the plug-and-plug stuff. But
sure.
Anyway, you're able to go ahead and unplug and power off. And we should have been told, hey, not powered.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So.
Which actually, you know, if we go to another demo, we can always see what happens when there's no power and we try and run it.
Sure. So once again, those take a look at the samples, Skeletal Viewer WPF, and also Shape Game, which you might look at a little bit later, about how to use a new collection on the runtime object called Connects, which gives you a set of runtimes.
And it's important to note because for people that are porting their code, you'll see that the creating a new runtime is now deprecated. and really I'd say the example to how to set up your Kinect, for example, is the code from either Shapegame,
right,
or Skeletal Viewer. Do you have a preference?
Shapegame's a better way to look at how to deal with multiple Kinect, how to dynamically deal with those Kinects, etc.
Okay,
it's got
great.
Some code you can copy and paste. So we've also done a bunch of work in color and depth images. There's mm-hmm. more work to do after beta 2 as well, but the one thing we did for color and depth images is we made it so that we're not allocating memory constantly each frame. And we're doing 30
right.
frames a second. We've got to be careful with our allocations. In fact, I profiled our app one time, our sample app, and it was doing about 2 gigs of allocations in a minute.
Wow.
So we were able to cut that down to 100 meg, you know, basically cut it down from two gig, decrease it 90%.
That's awesome.
Down to 100 meg. We still have some work to do in the skeletal pipeline, but we're able to make things more efficient. And the GC, you know, the garbage collector, is going to be less exercise.
And how are you guys doing that under the covers, just, you know, at a high level, not to give trade secrets?
Well, so, you know, in the manage layer, we have a ring buffer where basically we allocate 2 byte arrays, and we're just switching between them. So
okay.
we allocate 2 instead of 1 per frame.
I know people love to... So that way, you know, if they had the same problem, they can at least use the same technique.
Right. Now, yes, absolutely. So other things we've done, we've invested a bunch in the skeletal area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, that's one of the great differentiators is our runtime's ability to understand skeleton data. We've taken a bunch of fixes and investments to improve tracking accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also done work to make it scale over more cores better. So that
yeah,
means,
this is awesome for the people that have the multi-core machines.
Right. So if you have a multi-core machine, we're able to go ahead and scale parts of the skeletal pipeline, which has several different steps, and take the exemplar stage and put it in some background threads.
So if you had an 8-core machine before, everything was running on basically one CPU, and now you can actually distribute that workload.
Exactly.
Love it.
Right.
Great.
And then you saw the demo of being able to switch which Kinect is using the skeletal tracking. Now,
right.
ideally, we could make it so that every Kinect you had connected was using skeletal. That's a problem when you say that, isn't it? Connect,
yeah.
Connected, connect, attached, I don't know.
I was updating our Kinect for Windows SDK quick starts, and it's all, listen to the Kinect connected event, and if the Kinect, yeah, it's horrible.
Audio streams, there was a major problem. I think you guys had a sample around fixing this.
Yeah, we did an exact sample. The idea is, before when you wanted to use the Kinect audio source, if you were using it in a console, well, console is multi-thread MTA, so its apartment state is set to multi-threaded, so it would just work. If you tried to use the same exact code in a WPF app, it wouldn't work.
Which
and
is STA, or single-threaded.
Single-threaded
apartment.
Application. You wouldn't know... it would blow up and you wouldn't know why. So the idea is you could actually do that, and our sample was to create a new thread and then to specifically mark that thread as a multi-threaded apartment, and then it would just work.
Right.
So.
And so, yeah, we're making it so that you can instantiate the Kinect audio source on your UI thread,
mm-hmm.
and it will talk to... You know, basically a real audio source on a background thread for you automatically, so you don't need to worry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you no longer need to worry about multi-thread, spinning up multi-threaded threads.
You'll have to go check out this demo yourself, but there's a Kinect audio demo sample that shows you the audio beam and where the sound is coming from.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So check that out. And the speech side, we've done a bunch of polish to the Shapegame sample. To the sample code, and you'll see, hey, here we have nice regions. We're
okay.
down to 6 lines of code.
Hey, all right. I love me some regions.
Okay. But actually, what we did is we went and made this nice little section called Connect to Discovery and Setup. And the idea is you cut this section out, put it in your application, and I ask you to go ahead and call Connect Start from window loaded, call Connect Stop when you tear down when the window's closed. We have all these events that you can understand now, having no Connect, having no power, having no speech, not being ready. Another app is already using the Kinect.
Right.
And this basically is just a central way to figure out how your application should surface these errors to the user. So you should customize this. I went ahead and just modified the kind of hacky way that it was done before in this application, this banner, new banner thing.
These are the status change messages, which is the new enum.
Well,
is
actually,
that, is that
no,
correct?
I went ahead and in this app built an error condition because some
okay.
of these things, like no speech, isn't a status. That's
okay.
looking to see if the speech runtime's around. Kinect app conflict maybe should be a status, a Kinect status someday,
okay.
but it's not. So we'll see those in a moment, though. We'll see those enums. So here I have a routine that does initialization of Connect services. So this would be where you could go ahead and choose what options you're going to go ahead and initialize and how you're going to use your skeleton.
I'm scared.
Don't be scared. We have a to-do here. We're going to fix this.
Yay!
Yeah. So anyway, then there's the go ahead and instantiate the speech recognizer, et cetera, the uninitialize as well. I'll just jump down to some of the other stuff. So the Connect start is the call that you make. This is a region that you shouldn't ever have to touch. But there's a Connect start routine here, and this Connect start routine basically calls a routine I call Connect discovery. If you go to Connect discovery, it wires this new event called status changed. So it basically says, hey, I've got this Connects collection. Tell me when anything happens with the Connect. You plug it in, you plug it out, it loses power, et cetera.
Sure.
And then you'll be able to handle that gracefully. Then it loops through all of the Connects currently in that collection, and it does whatever it wants to do. It grabs the first one.
Right, right. But so you can take a particular action if your app needs two Connects or something like that. For the most case, if you're using just one that's one Connect, you can just grab the first one.
Absolutely. And let's say you were trying to do that kiosk with two apps.
Right.
You might have config settings for this app to say, use the left one. And which one is the left one? The left one is the one with this this name or app ID or whatever.
Right.
So you'd go ahead and make your app understand that. So that's Connect discovery. And if I jump back with control minus, this is the way of handling the different error conditions. Hey, show no Connect, no power, et cetera. And then there's the status changed event handler that says, hey, if we get a connected and we don't already have a Connect, then go ahead and grab it and then show the status that, hey, we're okay now, that kind of thing. So anyway,
sure.
Dig into the code, try it out. But that's just some cleanup of how we've also tied in how we tie into speech there as well, made a static constructor and pass back null and wired in nicely. So anyway, take a look.
Okay.
We also went ahead and for Skeletal Viewer, we componentized some of the color viewing logic and the depth viewing logic.
And certainly we're seeing, a lot of people using WPF. So the idea in Connect SDK applications using WPF and just making their lives easier to be able to see the common data.
Sure. So we built a color viewer, a depth viewer, and then a diagnostic viewer that kind of builds the skeletal viewer area.
And that's what people saw in the skeletal viewer. That was the frames per second, the index, and I think
The diagnostic viewer, actually holds the color viewer, the depth viewer, and the skeletal viewer in that little panel.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we'd love feedback about these things and how you find them useful. And if you want them for other platforms, yes, we have some for WPF, but tell us what you'd like.
And for people that were digging into, I think it was the skeletal viewer last time, the actual drawing of the skeleton on top using WPF, that was all kind of buried in the code and not componentized. Now it's in a nice user control that you can include in your application.
Right. We also made an efficiency improvement there where we went ahead and made it so that the bitmap rendering, we're just creating an interop bitmap in WPF instead of instantiating a new bitmap source every time. So
Yeah, that's definitely actually a really good example of just reusing best practices, if you will, so for memory usage.
Right. So we were excited that Beta 2 is out for people right now. We'd love to hear your feedback on it. Another exciting thing that we did this week, Monday, there was an announcement that our V1 is coming. We actually announced the date for our V1. I don't know if you heard.
Yeah, so what would you say? When are we launching? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, we're launching V1 of Connect for Windows in early 2012.
Okay.
And what that means is, people will say, well, hey, oh, great, I want, some people have been confused on the forums about, non-commercial versus commercial and those kind of things.
Right.
And clearly it would be a mistake for us to let people use something that's not V1 yet commercially. But
And this is really to clarify the thing that you're saying on the forums is there aren't two versions of the Connect SDK. There's one version of the SDK.
Right. If you're using Beta 1, Beta 1 Refresh, or now Beta 2, you're using what will eventually become our commercial SDK. You're using the non-commercial SDK. And so we're excited that it's coming in early 2012.
Cool.
And then we're also excited to see all the great things people are doing, and we'd love to hear your feedback to make sure that we're doing the right things for the rest of V1 and then beyond. There's a lot of exciting technologies that people are asking for. They won't all be in V1, but we're excited to keep working on it.
Yeah, there's definitely been a lot of changes. I'm just trying to think of, between the beta and beta 2, there's certainly a lot of stuff in performance improvements, and certainly a lot of things that you're seeing the Xbox team add into Kinect for Xbox, and then you can imagine those sort of trickle down, if you will, for Kinect for Windows.
Sure. I was in Vegas a couple days ago, and we had somebody from the Microsoft Studios do a session on finger tracking and Voxel UI. Now, this stuff is built on...
What's Voxel UI?
Voxel UI is kind of the hand cursor, but dealing with it in a nice 3D way. So it's basically how to do elegant 3D UI.
Oh,
very cool.
So
Voxel is a 3D pixel, a volumetric pixel or something like that.
I'll use it at a dinner party and confuse everyone.
Yes, absolutely. So the finger tracking is pretty cool. The finger tracking, his technique of doing it on top of the SDK, which he told people how to go do, but it'd be nice if we did someday, basically finds out where the hand is and then does depth analysis on the hand, and goes and looks at the curvature of the fingers, and when it really accelerates, oh, it's a fingertip. And so his system's able to go ahead and tell close hand, open hand, and which fingers are open.
That's
so
awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the one that's the open source project. Is that correct?
No, this is somebody in Microsoft Studios, but there may be other people working on this as well.
There is a nice finger tracking application on CodePlex that basically does the same stuff, and they've made it work on Kinect for Windows.
Yeah, been excited to see all the things on CodePlex and everywhere else as well.
Yeah,
keep it coming.
So definitely lots of cool stuff. Anything else?
Yeah, so we got
new
a new
website.
URL. New URL.
Woo-hoo.
Kinectforwindows.org has the new bits. That's where you should go. Give it a shot. Give us your feedback. We've been getting phenomenal amount of feedback on the forums since June when we launched, and we're going to keep engaging with people there.
Yeah, and always let us know when there's cool projects as well. We'll feature them on the Coding for Fun blog, and there's some campaign. Do you want to talk about that, or we'll save that for another time?
Why don't we save that for another time?
Okay, sounds good. Cool. All right, Rob, thanks. And everyone download from kinectforwindows.org and start playing at home and send feedback. And there'll be links to the forum directly from Kinect for Windows for people that have questions and stuff, because you guys have been just great in terms of getting response time.
Yep.
Okay.
We'll be there.
Awesome. Thanks.